Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem, Power of Words, Shir number 107. We're talking about the recognition of verbal abuse and asking for change. And when we discuss this book, I always make the hagdama that this book, because of the commonality of wives being the victim of verbal abuse and the husband being the abuser, so she wrote the whole book in that context addressed to the wives. But in reality, that the author of this book acknowledges as well, the abuse could go in the opposite direction, and it's not so uncommon, unfortunately, where the wife is an extreme verbal abuser and the husband is the victim of it, even though that's not the stereotypical reality. So therefore, when in the past and in the future, when we go through this book, we use the terminology of the book with the wife being the victim and the husband being the perpetrator of this abuse, but recognize as we're going through the shiurim always that it happens in reverse as well, and each one should know themselves as they're listening to this and recognize the patterns. So we talked last shiur about how you start recognizing that verbal abuse and taking the stand for yourself to set those limits, which we said is not gaiva and it's not unhealthy focus of self. It's not like, okay, you know, it is true you have, you know, to let your ruts, you know, the Ratzon Hashem and Shivisi and working on your midos, that word shouldn't hurt you. You could do that avoida, but that doesn't take away the fact that this is necessary, hishtadlus, to take care of your health, to be kind of the mitzvah of shmartas nafshei seichem, because being that victim is unhealthy for you, is unhealthy for the one that's perpetrating it. But it takes, like we said, a great degree of building self-esteem to protect yourself this way, to set the limits. And also, it requires an extraordinary trust in yourself and in your feelings and in your perceptions. And here is how you begin to do that. Number one, if you're being yelled at by your abusive husband, recognize, even if he thinks he's justified, I will not accept it. Even if he thinks it's a joke, because very often they say, I was just joking, I will not accept that. Even if he says he does not understand, I won't accept that either. He says it's your fault, I won't accept it. By the way, again, does that mean that someone who is a victim of verbal abuse never has faults and never has to correct things? Of course not. But is it possible sometimes that you, in this case, as a wife, did something that she shouldn't have done towards the husband that got him upset? That could happen. So we're not saying that it's never something that you can't work on. But this is the pattern, though, of a verbal abuser where they make everything your fault. So then, yes, you have to fight back. I will not accept you telling me that it's my fault always. And even if he says you don't know what you're talking about, I won't accept that I don't know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. And even if he says you're just trying to be right, I won't accept that either. I'm not just trying to be right. And if he says I don't want to use the expressions that are used when you verbally abuse, those terrible adjectives, I'm not that. Even if he says 100 things, I won't accept it. At all, not even one of them. And even if I made a mistake, and this is what we touched upon just now, even if I made a mistake, I won't accept the abuse. If I made mistakes, I made mistakes, but I will not accept being put down and I will not accept being raged at because of the mistakes that I made. So in this way, you acknowledge when you're human, you make mistakes. You could have sometimes caused an upsetness to your husband that really you shouldn't have done, but that doesn't mean that you have any obligation or he has any right to throw abuse at you. So that's a real important key. So we talked about, again, these things, the steps that you take. We talked in the last year about getting professional help, asking him to go to counseling with you, starting setting limits, which we just talked about now. Another concept is to stay in the present, not to dwell in the past or not to think about the concerns of the future, but to be a present, be aware of the present moment by moment. Any angry outburst or disparaging remark direct about you, at you, that from this moment on, you'll respond to the abuse in a new way. In the past, you may have told your husband when you were upset or hurt or frustrated, and you told him what you were upset about, and you asked him not to yell at you, or you may have asked to check with you to find out what you're saying and so on and so forth. But here, you have to really cool the abuser on every offense, set those limits, reinforce them, and say, stop it. This is not acceptable. I will not accept this. I will not accept this. Don't say what I meant was this, what I meant was that. Don't do that anymore. Because when you're saying that, and an abuse victim will do that often. When the abuser yells and screams, why did you do that? And then you try to defend yourself. No, what I meant was this, what I meant. No more of that defending. What I meant was this, what I meant was that. Because it makes no difference. In his mind, his reality is valid. In his mind, you're the adversary. In his mind, he could step up these attacks, even if you say what I meant was this, what I meant was that. He will take any explanation as adversarial or defensive, so you basically have none of it and say, this is not acceptable. You stop this right away. And that you can leave the abusive situation. You may need help and counseling, financial aid, and all these things. And there's organizations, you know, you do your best with that. I know people are in difficult matzavim. We need to daven ourselves. We need to daven for other people in these situations. And you could ask for these changes. You know, if the abuse is not too far gone, you could actually have some discussions that may work. And here's some difficulties that you will encounter sometimes. You know, if you've been blamed for the abuse, you may feel guilty or at fault, or that you're betraying your husband by discussing those concerns about your relationship with an outside party, but you must discuss it with an outside party. And yes, we talked about not with everybody or anybody, but with a competent person, the mentor, the rav, the true trusted friend that could help in reality, but you need to touch upon an outside party. It's very, very important. You know, you may be told you're looking for trouble, you're trying to start something, you don't know where you're heading in, but you that can't stop you from asking. It doesn't mean you take drastic measures right now, but you need to ask for that outside help and get information and work with someone to help you through this. So that is very important. Knowing that what the abuser told you about yourself is not true at all. Very often the abuser was simply trying to define you in the terms of his reality, not yours. I am not competitive like you always tell me. I am not always trying to start a fight like you always tell me. I am not too sensitive like you always tell me. I'm not too selfish like you always tell me. I'm not judgmental like you always tell me I am. I'm not attacking you like you always tell me I'm attacking you. I know I'm not trying to get that last word in like you always tell me I'm trying to get that last word in. And you keep on saying that I'm not. That's a very, very big key. And you add to that, as much as the verbal abuser is accusing you of all these things, you go jump right back and say, I know I am not that. I am not doing that. I'm not what I'm being told by you. I am. You challenge it. But that's difficult. It takes courage, self-esteem, and a strong trust in oneself. Another difficulty is that abuse takes place often when no one else is around. And then it can be denied by the abuser. This abuse occurs a lot in secret. No one in the world knows, so no one can validate your experience. So you could think you're taking it all wrong, it's all in your imagination, I'm over-exaggerating things, because no one else knows about it but you, because the crimes are private. But you have to remember that most crimes are committed in secret, just like most verbal abuse is created in secret. Why? Just like a rapist knows what he's doing in secret. The abuser knows what he's doing in secret. The abuser knows this. A rapist knows it. an abuser knows it. A verbal abuser knows it. So you can challenge it, even if no one else in the world saw it but yourself. The abuser continues to deny the abuse, and they're unwilling to get help because of their power over, they need to dominate. But again, the ones that are listening that have this tendency, if they're not too far gone, they have to recognize this pattern and own up to it. I'm an abuser. I have to work on that. I need help. Very, very important. One of the most difficult reasons why it's difficult to recognize verbal abuse and accept it for what it is, and to do these steps that we just described in this year and the last year, is like one wife once summed it up this way. It's incredibly painful and heartbreaking when you realize that the man you love is hostile towards you. Verbal abuse is hurtful to the spirit, to the neshama. It crushes you. But with knowledge and awareness and action, and of course with tefillah and hesbaididus and support, you could heal that spirit. There's nothing you can do to change that other person. You could take these steps that we described, but it's all in the hands of Hashem, of course, but you do your shtadlus, and you can't control that person's behavior. So the site of this shir and the last shir is the recognition of verbal abuse, when you finally recognize it, and you have a right, and you should ask for that change. And we described various symptoms and signs of abuse, when you start chapping what it is, how to start protecting yourself from that, recognize you don't share the same reality. And it's so, so important. You need to feel safe and respected in your relationship when it's a healthy relationship. And when you don't, it's not a healthy relationship. And in an abusive situation, they strip away that sense of dignity and respect from you. You have to understand the basic rights of the relationship, to goodwill, emotional support, heard and responding to each other, kavod, free of blame, free of accusations, free of sharp criticism, free of judgment, the right for encouragement, free of these angry sudden outbursts and rage. This is our birthright in marriage and in relationships between al-chaveray, and certainly in marriage. And verbal abuse breaks all of this. And once the abused person recognizes it is broken, they could recognize it for what it is, defend themselves by taking these steps that we just described. And may HaKadosh Baruch Hu help. And again, I'm going to reiterate that plea that I said in the last year and through all these shiurim, basically, is both for the abused to recognize, to protect themselves and to heal themselves and to set those limits and do what they can. Prayer and then hishtadlus, of course, to help the situation and take care of yourself. Be mekayem the mitzvah of the shmartas nafshei seichem. And for the ones that are abusive, to listen to the shiurim, to recognize, call it for what it is, look yourself in the mirror and recognize, I need help. I must get help. I must change myself. And hopefully in most cases, there's hope for full healing in marriages and in family life with children and with husbands and wives and with overall people. Bracha v'atzlacha.